Amen. So when was the last time you talked to Nina Roll? You have no idea who Nina is, do you? Okay, maybe you know Nina by her other name, Alexa. Okay, so Nina Roll is the voiceover artist. She lives in Colorado. When you talk to Alexa, which over 70 million Americans do every day, the response you get, that's Nina's voice you're listening to. But I've got some shocking news for you. Neither Alexa nor Nina care anything about you. Okay, they don't give a rip about your life. So Alexa is nothing but what's called a chatbot. Okay, a chatbot is a computer-designed program that simulates conversation with humans. It's becoming very popular. In some cases, it's a useful tool. So businesses use chatbots to, you know, engage customers on the phone. Drivers use chatbots to get directions. Homeowners use chatbots to turn up the heat or turn on the lights or turn down the stereo. But there's a sense that now as chatbots are used more and more for conversational companions, that maybe this thing's getting a little bit out of hand. I read a news article this past week. It was talking about this trend, especially among young people, to use chatbots as conversational companions. Story was about a young girl named Ava. Ava's in seventh grade. She's been talking more and more and more to a chatbot and less to friends at school, less to family members. And unfortunately, some of her conversation, according to Ava, has become sexually explicit. She describes herself now as a porn addict. She's joined a recovery group, seventh grade. You know, psychologists, according to what I read, psychologists are a little concerned that we're overusing chatbots for conversational companions. And they say, yeah, if you want to rant, if you've got an anger problem and you rant on a chatbot, it will decrease your anger, but the chatbot won't give you any emotional support, okay? The chatbot will not lessen your sense of loneliness, according to the studies that have been done, because chatbots aren't real. So I want to make a case today for talking less and less to chatbots and talking more and more to an all-wise, all-powerful God who made you, who knows you, who loves you, who can actually do something about the concerns that you talk to him about. So, how is your prayer life? That's what we're talking about, your prayer life. We're in the second week of a six-part series. We're celebrating the 40th anniversary of Christ Community Church. The series is called Legacy. Legacy, the enduring values of CCC. So we are taking a look at six top priorities of our church, values that characterize our ministry, values that have enabled us over the years to have a huge impact on the lives of many, many people. So today's value is prayer. Prayer, how's your prayer life? As Christ Community Church's founding pastor, what I'd like to do, I'm going to describe how God birthed this value first in my own life and then how I've tried to build the value into the life of our church. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10, he says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and now someone else is building on it. So by God's grace, I've had the privilege of laying a foundation for Christ Community Church, and now it's my hope and prayer that all of you want to own the values that we're covering in this series and build on them. You know, it's not enough to just nod your head in agreement with the values that we're covering over these 6 weeks. It's not even enough to enjoy being part of a church that's been shaped by these values. You know, I want you to own these values. I want you to live these values yourself. I want prayer to become one of your top priorities. So let me begin with a stroll down memory lane and tell you how I became a committed prayer. And as I'm telling you my story, I want you to turn with me, take your Bible and go looking for Ephesians chapter 6. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6 for our text today. I was extremely fortunate to be raised by two parents who were prayers. I would go so far as to say that prayer was the defining characteristic of my mom and dad's lives. I mean, they prayed about everything. I remember as a kid, whenever a family crisis would strike, grandma was in a coma for several months after an automobile accident. My dad lost his business to what was kind of a hostile takeover. My brother went through a divorce. Whenever something like that would happen, my parents would retreat to their bedroom and I could tiptoe down the hall and peek in, and they would be kneeling beside their bed, pouring out their hearts to God. They were prayers. They were prayers. We showed you a video clip before the sermon of my mom. She did that years ago, talking about the importance of prayer. During her memorial service here at Christ Community just 3 years ago, there were so many references in the eulogies to her tenacity as a prayer that numerous people came up to me afterward and said, "I am inspired to up my prayer game." So that's my mom and dad. And you would think with parents like that, you know, I would have picked up the prayer habit early on, but I didn't. So we would gather every morning for breakfast. Mom and dad would read an excerpt from the Bible, and then we would go around the table and everyone taking a turn to pray. So my mom, my dad, my three siblings, me, I would always pray the same three or four things. I would always pray them with the same words. I would always pray them in rapid fire, you know, just get her done. My heart was not in it. My heart was not in it. And as I look back, I realize that the reason my heart was not in it back then is because I didn't surrender my life to Jesus as Savior and King until I was a freshman in college. And so if you've never surrendered to Jesus, the Holy Spirit hasn't come to live on the inside. And if the Holy Spirit hasn't come to live on the inside, then prayer at best is a mere formality if you do it at all. But you don't pursue it with passion. This brings us to today's scripture. So if you're open to Ephesians 6, our scripture today is one verse. One verse, it's verse 18. Ephesians 6, verse 18, the Apostle Paul says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." This is the word of the Lord. Thank you, God, for your holy word. Did you notice how many times Paul uses the word all in one verse? Four times. And that's going to be the outline for today. But before we get to the alls, take a look again at the opening phrase of this verse. He says, "And pray in the Spirit." What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? It means that you depend on the Holy Spirit as you pray. You lean into the Holy Spirit as you pray. Now, go back to what I said a moment ago about my own life. You know, prior to surrendering my life to Christ, I didn't have the Holy Spirit on the inside, so no surprise, I was not a great prayer. And until you surrender to Jesus, until the Spirit of God comes to live on the inside, you're not going to be much of a prayer. See, the Holy Spirit is a game changer when it comes to prayer. It's the Holy Spirit who's going to prompt you to pray about things in your life. It's the Holy Spirit who's going to give you a heart for other people so you're inclined to intercede for them. It's the Holy Spirit who, when you bow your head to pray and you say, "I don't know what to say," he's the one who's going to give you the words. It's the Holy Spirit who gives you perseverance so you keep on keeping on, even when you're thinking this prayer is doing absolutely no good. It's Holy Spirit driven, this prayer priority. You get it? Good, good. So this is why I'll often begin my prayer with, "Holy Spirit, help me pray. Holy Spirit, help me pray." Would you say that with me? Holy Spirit, help me pray. So it's got to be a Spirit-directed thing. Now, that leads us to the four alls. And I'm going to jump into the middle of verse 18. I'm going to pick up the third all and use it as my first point. So it's actually the word always. Paul says in the middle of the verse, "Always keep on praying." You see that? You might want to circle the word always if you got your own Bible in front of you. So prayer is supposed to be all the time. All the time. It's something we do constantly, not only when there's a crisis in our lives, but always. Not only when we feel like it, but always. not only as an accompaniment to our Bible reading in the morning when we sit down with a cup of coffee, but always, all through the day. Not only for our own personal concerns while ignoring others' concerns, but always. I remember a few years ago, I was watching a news interview with Dr. Billy Graham, world-famous evangelist, well-respected dude. And the host of the interview asked Dr. Graham the question, doesn't the Bible say that we're always supposed to be praying? And Dr. Graham nodded his head in agreement. And so he was asked a follow-up question. So, you know, do you do that? And he got a smile on his face and he said, oh, I'm doing that right now as I'm talking to you. Okay? Always, always, always. When we launched Christ Community Church, I realized what a top priority prayer needed to be. We were desperate, starting with nothing. So we needed to pray not only for the sake of our church and its mission, but also for the sake of our personal lives. And so I wanted to teach people how to pray all the time about everything. And I especially wanted to do that with men. Now, my experience has been that women typically pray more naturally than men do. I don't know, is it because women tend to be better verbal processors than men, or that women are more inclined to admit their need for God than men, or that women like to hang out in groups like Bible studies where they practice prayer on a regular basis. All I knew back at the beginning of this church was I wanted to train men how to pray. And so once a month, we hosted a Saturday morning breakfast. I figured if you offer bacon, men will come, all right? And each month, I would teach about some aspect of prayer. That wasn't an occasional topic. That was the topic, some aspect of prayer every month. Month after month after month for several straight years. My talks were very practical. In fact, most often after breakfast, we would then break up into groups of three or four and we would pray, applying what we had just learned. Now, several years into this, because I'm a reader, I wanted to find a book that I could recommend to the guys that would up their prayer life. And I had a whole shelf of books on prayer at the time, but as I looked at them, they were either deeply theological or somewhat mystical or over the top impractical. Yeah, I didn't have a sense after looking at my books that any one of them would actually help guys pray more. So I decided to write my own book on prayer. I gathered together all of the material, the lessons I'd been teaching these guys, and out came the book Prayer Coach. And Christ Community Church eventually took over the copyright of that book from the publisher so we could print it on our own and offer it to people at cost. By the way, it may have a sports title, Prayer Coach, and a sports cover to it, but this is a book for women as much as for men. It's not a book to be read in one sitting. This is not a book that you read on a four-hour plane ride between Chicago and San Diego. It's a book to read slowly, no more than one chapter at a time. And you don't move on to the next chapter until you put into practice the chapter you've already read. It's a how-to book on prayer, how to overcome roadblocks to praying, how to pray on spiritual armor, how to pray for opportunities to talk about Jesus with your friends, how to pray for your kids, how to pray prayers of confession, how to pray against demonic attacks. I mean, if you don't pray more after reading Prayer Coach, you ought to get your money back. By the way, speaking of money, I don't make any money on this book. All right, so if you think I'm pushing it for that, I'm pushing it because I want you to become a prayer. In fact, if you've not used it as a community group study, I'd highly recommend it as such. You could pick up a copy at any one of our bookstores, again, at cost. If you want it absolutely free during the month of February, it's posted online as a free download. So if you go to ccclife.org/pray, you can find the book. Pray all the time, all the time. Second all, go back to Ephesians 6, verse 18. All occasions, and you see this in the opening line of the verse, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. The word occasions suggests here that we should set aside certain times, certain places specifically for prayer. So in one sense, yeah, yes, you should always pray. Pray all the time. Prayer should accompany everything we do, but there should also be occasions, especially in the life of a church, when prayer is our main focus. So let me describe several occasions that we set aside for prayer at Christ Community Church, and I hope that you'll engage in these. First is this: we pray before, during, and after our weekend services. Okay, before you arrive at Christ Community Church for a service, a bunch of people have already been praying for the impact of that service on your life. So the worship team is praying backstage, and it's not just a one-sentence prayer. It goes on for 10, 15 minutes as we pray for the sermon, we pray for the singing, the worship, we pray for the announcements. And Kids World teams are praying for the impact of what they do with your children, and traffic teams are praying that some of you would drive more carefully. And usher greeter teams are praying. And by the way, if you serve on one of these teams, part of your job description is to arrive early enough to be part of the pre-service prayer. So my mom and dad, for 35 years, my mom and dad would come 20 minutes early every Sunday morning. They would sit in the empty auditorium at the St. Charles South Elgin campus, and they would pray. They would pray for you. So if this church has been a blessing in your life, you got my mom and dad to thank for that. And if you want to show them some gratitude, the way to do it is take their place. So they're gone. They're in the presence of the Lord Jesus right now. But I'd like to challenge you to consider, you don't need to do this every week, you know, but maybe one weekend a month, consider coming 10, 15 minutes early. Come into the auditorium at whatever campus you worship at, and just spend some moments in prayer for the impact of that service. Now, we not only pray before our services, we pray during our services. You recall what Jesus said about the temple? He said, "My Father's house is to be a house of what?" Prayer. Yeah, you could have guessed that, right? My house, the Father says, is to be a house of prayer. We want Christ Community Church, especially during our weekend services, to be a house of prayer. So prayer is part of our worship time. You know, in between our songs, we may pause for a prayer of confession or a prayer of praise or a prayer as we did today, a prayer of allowing those who are hurting to just take a seat and allow us to pray over you. And then as we approach the giving of our tithes and our offerings, we stop and we pray over the resources we're putting into God's hands. We sometimes pray over specific issues. If you were here last weekend, we had those willing to consider going on a Go Team trip to stand, and we prayed over you. Santa, Shadanke's wife from Sierra Leone, led in that prayer. Today, we prayed for the immigration, the deportation issue. Now, some of our prayers during the service we write out ahead of time so we could post them on the screen and you could pray along. We do this for a couple of reasons. One reason is we want our prayers not to be off the cuff, extemporaneous. We want them to be thoughtful and substantial and God-honoring, and so we carefully word them ahead of time. The other reason we do this is we want you to participate. We don't want prayer always to be some person on the platform speaking. We want all of us to vocalize, to engage. Now, is it possible to read those prayers, those written out prayers, in a rote form without putting your heart into them? Yep, it is. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was down in San Antonio for a week. And on Saturday night, I went to Mass at the San Fernando Cathedral. So here I am, this Protestant boy in a Catholic church. Some of you former Catholics are going to appreciate this. So for me, the liturgy, everything was new and it was fresh. It was meaningful. But as I looked around, it sure seemed like some of the regulars were just kind of cranking it out in a rote fashion, right? Don't do that at Christ Community Church. Just because we have written prayers, when you engage in a read prayer, put your heart into it. Pray with all your heart. Those words have been carefully chosen. So we pray before services. We pray during services. We pray after services. There is a prayer center at a couple of the campuses. Campuses that don't have a prayer center do prayer after the service up in front of the platform. But we have got trained prayers who are willing to intercede for your needs. And it amazes me from week to week the serious concerns that people are willing to bring to us and say, hey, would you pray for me? I mean, difficult stuff. And if you've not taken advantage, if you've been at our church for any length of time and you've never gone to the post-service prayer and said, I need some prayer, could you pray about this for me? You don't know what you're missing. We see physical healings. We see people get jobs. We see peace of mind. We see restored relationships. We see spiritual breakthroughs. God answers those prayers. So take advantage of them. One of the things I look forward to, most of you know, in a couple of months, I'm going to turn over the leadership, senior leadership reins of the church to pastors Eric and Clayton. Sue and I are going to take off for a four-month sabbatical, get some much-needed rest, and then next fall we come back and I'm in a new position, still on the staff of the church. But one of the areas I will be developing are our prayer teams, because this is a passion of mine, that our church be a house of prayer. And one of the things I love, I love it when it happens spontaneously after a service. So occasionally I'll look out and the auditorium is emptying, or I'll be out in the lobby and I'll see a clump of people and they're talking together. And my guess is somebody must share a need, because what happens as I observe it is suddenly an arm gets draped around that person's shoulders and the group of people bow their heads and someone leads out in prayer. And I say, yeah, go for it. Way to go. Any one of you can initiate that kind of thing. Any one of you. So all it takes is, you know, don't always come late. Come on time so you can mix it up with other worshipers. And then don't always bolt for your car. Hang out a little bit. Learn somebody's name. In the course of conversation, they may mention a personal need, at which time you get to say to them, hey, can I take a moment and pray for you? And you just bow your head and you pray for them. It is such a meaningful experience. God's house is to be a house of, say it with me, prayer. Prayer. So let's do it. So one of the occasions is before, during, and after our services. A second occasion, at leadership meetings. Now, most of you won't ever have the opportunity to observe what goes on at a CCC staff meeting or elder meeting, but I want you to know that our leaders around here, we do a lot of praying. You know, our staff, I think it numbers over 120 staff across five campuses now, about 40 some of them are pastoral staff, and that group meets twice a week for prayer, an hour or more at a time. And we intercede for every aspect of our ministries. And we often pray, if you're volunteering in one of those ministries and there is some drama going on in your life and we know about it, we pray for you by name. So our staff prays, our elders get together once a month to discuss church matters. It's a 4-hour-long meeting. Years ago, we used to open in prayer, and then we'd talk about things for 4 hours, and then when we were all exhausted, we would close in a quick word of prayer. And it dawned on me one day, those quickie prayers, they can't be that effective. And they might even be insulting to the God that we were kind of asking just rubber stamp our decisions. And so we changed it out. And here's what you would encounter if you sat in an elder meeting today. We'll talk about an item on the agenda for 10, 15 minutes, then we'll stop and we'll pray. We'll pray for 10, 15 minutes. And then we'll talk about a few more items, and then we'll stop and pray. And then we'll talk a little more, and then we'll stop and pray. So prayer is woven throughout the course of our 4-hour gathering. And I just want to say, if you serve on the leadership team of any ministry at Christ Community, whether it's Kids World, International Impact, Care Night, Creative Arts, I'd encourage you, your team, to follow that same pattern during your planning meetings. Don't just open and close with prayer. Weave prayer between every item on your agenda, because this is how we tap into God's wisdom, his leading, his provision, his protection for everything that happens at Christ Community Church. Here's a third occasion for prayer at our church, and that's in community group gatherings. I am always leading a men's group. Have been doing it for 40 years here. One of the the favorite things I do. And I noticed early on that when we put prayer at the end of our meetings, it often didn't happen. Or if it did happen, it was rushed because guys were flying out the door to get to work. So these days, I typically schedule prayer at the beginning of my Thursday morning men's community group. We meet at a local coffee shop, and I am constantly changing up what we pray about. So some days, I'll say, hey, let's just go around the table and talk about a high and a low, the high-low from your week. You heard me say we call it the happy crappy sometimes too, okay? And after everybody has shared, we pray for each other's low. We intercede for each other. You know, another way that we do it is I'll say to the guys, everybody take out your phone, okay? Tap on Christ Community Church's mobile app. Go to the icon that says prayer wall. People list, every day people list desperate prayer requests. So each one of you guys around the table, you take one of those people, you read the request out loud and lead the rest of us in prayer for that individual. Sometimes we'll do that for Christ Community Church's International Impact Partners. Go to ccclife.org, International Impact. Take one of the countries where we're working and pray for the partner in that country. Some days I'll say, guys, let's pray for our wives today. We're going to go around the table. What does your wife need from God today? Let's pray for her, okay? Or today it's going to be some friend of yours who doesn't know Jesus. Let's pray for them. Let's pray that you be a bold witness. Some days it's, let's pray for somebody who's making your life difficult today. Who is that? As long as it's not me, okay? Because Jesus says we ought to pray for our enemies. So sometimes we do that. There's one more prayer strategy for those of you in community groups that you might want to tap into. Even though we try to set aside time for prayer every week, sometimes it feels like we haven't really drilled down into each other's lives. What's going on? What do we really need to pray about for you? So at the end of our meeting, what I'll say is, hey, you've got till noon today to go to our text thread and, you know, tap in a personal prayer request. And then all of us brothers, we're going to pray for the entire group of men here before the day's out. We got a covenant to do that. You ready? Go. And one of the byproducts of that is it creates so much energy around that text thread. And our guys, I love the guys in my group. There's so much excitement, anticipation of what God's doing in our lives. Prayer is what makes it happen. So those are some of the occasions, the official occasions where we interject prayer into the life of our church. Third, all. Go back to Ephesians 6, verse 18. All kinds of prayer. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, now listen, with all kinds of prayers and requests. Now I want you to imagine you got a neighbor, and the only time you ever talk with this dude is when he shows up at your front stoop outside your door to ask a favor. It's always a favor. You know, he wants to know, can he borrow your hedge trimmer? He wants to know, hey, would you watch my kids tonight so I could take my wife out for dinner? Or I needed a ride to the airport. Or would you take in our mail while we're on vacation? It's always asking, asking, asking. Every verbal exchange is an ask. Would you look forward to seeing that neighbor's face show up at your door? You know, don't you think that God would love to hear from us something besides an ask? Now, I'm not suggesting that ask prayers are bad. In fact, Jesus told us, Matthew 7, verse 7, he said, ask and it will be given to you. You know, but the Bible describes several other kinds of prayer besides asks. So let me encourage you to interject variety, interject balance into your prayer life around Christ Community Church, as well as in my book, Prayer Coach. We teach people a prayer acronym, CHAT, C-H-A-T. And just the acronym is a reminder that prayer is a relationship with God that we're cultivating. In fact, it's even a two-way street. I don't know if you've ever thought about prayer that way, but you not only speak to God, you put pauses in between your sentences and you listen. So CHAT, the C stands for confess. You review your life in prayer every day and you confess any way, as you look back over the previous 24 hours, any way you've offended God by what you were thinking or what came out of your mouth or something you did. If you missed my sermon, Soul Care series sermon 2 weeks ago called Practicing Repentance, please go back, watch it online. If you watched it, go watch it a second time. Because if we're negligent, if we're superficial with regard to confession, we might as well not pray at all. Just save your breath. Because Psalm 68 verse 18 says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. The Bible says that God's ears are closed to our prayers when we neglect to confess our sins, when we treat them in a lighthearted, superficial way. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, your sins have hidden God's face from you so that he will not hear. Hey, God is eager to forgive, but only when we're eager to confess. The H of chat, that's the C, confess. The H stands for honor. Do you take time regularly to honor God in prayer, to praise him for who he is? Now that assumes that you know who he is. You say, well, I know who he is. He's God. Well, that makes for a very short praise prayer. You know, God, I praise you for being God. I suppose someone, if you're a husband, someone asks you to honor your wife for a moment here. And you said, well, I praise her for being my wife. Does she have a great smile? Is she a good cook? What are her other talents? Is she kind? Is she smart? Is she industrious? Is she funny? How has she made you a better person? See, honor her for who she is. Well, who is she? Did you know there are over 250 attributes, titles, names by which God goes in the Bible? We've put them all together in an A to Z list. It's available on Christ Community Church's mobile app. It's called Attributes of God. You go to that app each day as you're spending time in the Bible and in prayer, and you take two of those attributes and you pray them back to God. You tell God why you think he's so cool to be that person described by that attribute. You praise him for ways in which he's demonstrated that attribute to you. By the way, this is something else I do with my men in my community group as well. Sometimes we go to the A to Z list. Guys, we're just gonna spend 10 minutes this morning praising God before we get into the Bible study. So take out the app, tap on attributes of God. Let's go to the letter P, okay? And then everybody take an attribute that starts with the letter P and let's pray it back to God. Let's praise God for who he is. Now, the A in chat stands for ask, the T in chat stands for thank, and I'll bet you can figure those out for yourself. I have a chapter in Prayer Coach on each of those. All kinds of prayer, all kinds of prayer. Fourth and finally, fourth all, go back to Ephesians 6, 18, one last time. All the Lord's people, second half of the verse, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Now, I've run out of time to cover this one in detail, but let me just say a few words about it, and then we're going to wrap up. If the only person you ever pray for is yourself, or maybe you pray for family members, occasionally you pray for a friend who's in deep weeds, you need to expand your prayer list. So let me tell you a simple way to do that. At some point, sit down, make a list of the categories of people in your life. You say, what are you talking about? Well, you got neighbors, you got coworkers, you got friends you'd like to come to know Jesus. That's a category. Okay, you got school teachers. If you're a student, it's your teachers. If you're a parent, it's the teachers of your kids. Just at Christ Community Church, you got staff, you got international impact partners, you got the people in your community group. You know, outside of our church, the Bible tells us to pray for those in government. So you could be praying for the president and senators and House of Representatives and mayor, governor, whatever. So you make a list of those categories, and then under each category, you put two or three names. Now you got a prayer list, and all you need to do is occasionally take one of those categories and pray for people on that list. So, and by the way, you don't need this to be a set time. This could be while you're standing in line at Jewel. This could be while you're driving your car to get to work. You just pick randomly a category. I'm going to pray for neighbors, and you pray for the people in that category. Now, truthfully, the reason we don't do this is because we don't care deeply about those people. And maybe we're waiting, we're thinking to ourselves, if I ever care deeply about them, I'll pray about them. But that's backwards. The truth of the matter is, if you'll start praying about them, you'll care about them. And isn't caring, isn't loving people, didn't Jesus say that's the second greatest commandment? You want your heart to grow as a lover of people, become a prayer for people. And maybe the reason you've never gone to the prayer wall is because I don't even know those people. Well, go to the prayer wall. There are some desperate needs posted every day. And after you pray, you get a little button you get to tap, and it lets them know one more person is praying for them. God will enlarge your heart. You want a bigger heart for people. You want to become more and more of a people lover. Become a prayer for people. You get it? Good. Let's pray. Pray with me. Stand together with me as we pray. And we're going to sing a closing song in just a moment. But let me pray for you. God, as I said at the outset of this sermon, it's not enough to say, whoopee, this is a value of our church. Isn't that cool? We want it to be a value of our own lives. We want each of us to own this value of prayer. God, if Christ Community Church were a praying church, oh, the things that you would do in and through us. So for those who've never surrendered to Jesus, and the reason they're not a prayer is because the Spirit of God has not yet come to live on the inside, I pray that even today they'd say, okay, God, I'm all yours. I want to thank you for what Jesus did on the cross for me, taking the penalty for my sin. I want him to be the Savior, the King of my life. I want the Spirit of God to come live on the inside. And those of us who claim to have the Spirit on the inside, oh, Holy Spirit, help us pray. Help us pray. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.